This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday as we welcome you in to Follow the Money live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sports book. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel filling in for the guys through next Wednesday as they get some post-Super Bowl time off. Happy to be with you. How are you today? Any more people that you gave bad directions to? How's it going?
Okay, that's not fair. You should also tell people what you're talking about here. So this is in reference to yesterday. I was out and about, and a young woman approached me and asked for directions to a certain street. And I gave her those directions, but I was looking at my map incorrectly and sent her in the complete opposite direction. It may have been at night. It may have been a young 16-year-old who was very panicked. And so we do still wonder what the fate of that young girl
is. I hope she's okay out there.
I hope she made it out alive. I assume she got where she needed to go.
That said, we are off to a roaring start with a lot of things in action already today, which kind of leads us to our guest list as well. We've got plenty of college basketball coming up. Tim Murray is going to join us. Soccer betting analyst Steve Wiss as well. And Christopher Powers of Golf Digest talk through everything going on out there at Pebble Beach as we are well underway. Rio Hisatsune in the lead right now at 8-under through 16. Jake Knapp and Sam Burns tied at 6-under. Your boy Tommy Fleetwood up there high on the leaderboard at 5-under right now as well.
Yeah, he is. And I would say the common thread between our three guys here at the top, if you look at some of the advanced metrics for the tournament, is the fact that all three of them are killing it when it comes to putting. Hisatsune right now is over four strokes gained putting. Both, if you look at Burns and Knapp at this point right now, well over about 3.38 and then 3.9 respectively. So some hot putters early on. I don't think that's a shock that a hot putter in a first round would be able to get you there. The question is, can you actually continue? You know, you look at a guy like Burns, for example, plus 3.4 will round up strokes gained putting, and yet his strokes gained approach, Stormy, he's actually lost about a half a stroke in terms of his approach game. So, in other words, you're kind of saving your bacon when you get to the green. We'll see if that can continue. Generally, this would look like something that you're probably not going to be able to maintain it. So I would expect that maybe these three names might not be the three names that we see, shockingly enough, by the time we get to Sunday.
Yeah, Chris Goddard up as well, who we talked about a lot this week already with two wins under his belt. He had birdies on the first six holes of the day, bogey on eight, so slowed down a bit, but still having a really nice start for him. My guy, so I bet top 10s and top 20s on Russell Henley. He's at 4-under through 14 right now. Victor Hovland, I had a top 20 on him as well. He's at even par, obviously a long tournament to go. I didn't bet any first round stuff, but we're going to keep tabs on this throughout the course of the day as we go. And again, excited to get some thoughts, big picture with Christopher Powers on kind of how to approach this thing in game tournament angles and all of that. We also have plenty of Olympic men's hockey in action right now. Both of the games that are currently in progress are tied at one at the first intermission. And for anyone who's been keeping tabs on this USA-Latvia game, it's been a little bit chaotic, and Team USA was a minus 2,400, prohibitive favorite in this one to be tied at one after one with two goals that they had this loud taken off the board, JVT.
So they had two goals taken off.
Correct.
Because I thought I saw them up 2-0. I thought I saw another one as well. So that does make some sense. There's not the massive shot discrepancy that we have seen in the first game that we were watching yesterday. At what point, what was it, like 29-6?
A lot to a little.
Yeah, it was a lot to a little. So you don't see that here, but they've had the opportunities. Is there a buy point on Team USA? There's no way it's going to be a price in which you can actually find it palatable.
Let me see where we're at right now. Laying 2.5 is minus 210.
Minus 210? I'm looking at minus 175.
Okay, yeah, so that actually might be a little bit worthwhile. Things that I'm seeing online, like Greg Wyshynski of ESPN, some others, have been talking about the Latvia video coach and just how outstanding he is, and obviously been in the video room and being able to identify what you needed to challenge those goals. Brady Tkachuk got the Americans on the board first, so cash that plus 160 anytime goal for anyone who had that in pocket. And then if you had Quinn Hughes or JT Miller, though, I am sorry that both of those were taken off, one for offside, and then I didn't see what the second one was as we're kind of in a fishbowl here in the studio
that.
At times. You wouldn't?
No.
What would you call it?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm trying to give you crap. I'm also trying to do this. By the way.
All that to say, though, Team USA was laying 3.5 at a minus 155 price on the puck line to open this thing out. So to now be at a cheaper price on a 2.5, I do think is interesting. The total goals in this bad boy was 6. I mean, I was looking at just some of the alternate ways to play on this and trying to figure out how you could bet Team USA. Even their pre-flop team total over 4.5 was more than $2.
I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm in. -2.5, -175. So let's go Team USA. I hope you're right.
Meanwhile, Germany and Denmark, again, we are tied at one there as well. Leon Draisaitl, a familiar name for those of you at home. He scored 23 seconds into the game, but that was all. And I am not even going to try to pronounce the German's name in this one. But Germany, -258 money line favorite earlier in the day, bet out to him out about -280. So it is the thought, at least in the market, that they're going to get this one done. The puck line, -1.5, that was played out a little bit as well. Full game total, 5.5, and that is where it sits live as well. Other results from this morning, Canada bet out pretty heavily, and that was the right side from -485 to -575 against Czechia. And this was, I'm already starting the day with a loser, JVT, because you heard me yesterday say a couple of times, I took 2.5 goals with the Czech Republic, thinking that just what they had in net and defensively, I thought Dostal would be able to stand up a little bit taller. He did not. John Cooper ended up going with Jordan Binnington, who had an outstanding day. And you, me, Mike Palm, we were talking a lot about this on the program yesterday. What ultimately was that decision going to be in net for Team Canada? They go with Binnington, and he exceeds all expectations, pitched a shutout, 5-0 win there. Canada scored with about, so it was a really good start for Czechia. Canada ends up scoring with about 5 seconds left on a, like, Cale Makar shoots it in, deflection from Macklin Celebrini, to give them a goal right before intermission, which I think was just a little bit deflating when you played such a strong period, especially defensively. And then pretty early on in the second period, Mitch Marner, Mark Stone hook up, and it just kind of felt like it was off for the running from there.
So Paul checked in. Pauly, 1968, not the Pauly that you all know and love. First love watching you both, whatever. Let's see. Combo with Mike Palm and the doubt about Binnington based on NHL performance is baseless. Canadians have waited long for this. No doubt they raised their game. Ain't St. Louis.
Baseless?
Baseless.
I appreciate the comment. Thank you for watching and listening. I would not say that current form and the save percentage that he had and the performance that he had would then say me thinking that he would struggle here is baseless just because Team Canada and the country is excited.
Paul, by the way, I don't mean to like gloss over the very nice compliment at the beginning.
Yeah, that was very, very nice. And I
didn't mean to just say
it.
Whatever. I
get that the forward group in front of you is not the same as the one that you have on the St. Louis Blues, but that doesn't change the fact of the matter.
I mean, sometimes playing for the pride of your country will make a man and or woman perform at a higher level than they are known to.
Sure. But like I said, I wouldn't say baseless.
Sounds non-patriotic to me.
I would say you could actually put the argument of like, mentality and excitement and pride of country as a more baseless thought than you could actual performance, no?
Sure.
Just my two cents. Connor McDavid, 3 assists in the win. Sidney Crosby, 2. I mean, they're just going to be such a tough out throughout the course of the Olympics. Yeah. They're so good. They're so fast. They're so skilled.
I mean, I thought Mike had a great point, too, when you talked about the futures as well. Just wait until the championship, and then you can bet in there. And we were talking about Team USA and winning that first game.
Yeah,
on the women's side, too. You could take maybe the same approach. We'll see what's going to go on here. But very, come on, let's get this going. We got some money on this now, and we need this intermission. I thought the intermissions were supposed to be shorter.
They are shorter. It just started a few minutes. Like, we'll be fine. We'll be back up and running here in a moment. Switzerland up next tomorrow for Team Canada. Big favorite once again there, -575, laying 2.5 on the puck line, and that's juiced to -125. France and Switzerland also earlier today. Switzerland won that in a shutout 4-0, and I didn't even realize yesterday, I came up to you in the parking lot after the show, and I was like tapping on your car window.
You were.
Because I wasn't even paying attention watching the Swedish
game. Thought my time was over.
Game. Shut up. Come on now. What Rasmus Dahlin did yesterday. Got 3 assists day from the Swede.
Yeah, so what do you have?
Over 4.5 points.
Okay,
the fact that he had 3 against Italy is a great start for that. So we're officially already, I would say, in bad beat territory if that one doesn't come home with as many games as they could still potentially play.
How many games?
They get 4 in group play.
At the very least, right? Okay, you're good.
You get 4 in group
play.
Devil.
You get 4 in group play, and then everybody moves on, do they not?
Yes,
so you're guaranteed another one. So
yeah, that's why I'm saying it's bad that we're in bad beat territory.
Or you're off to a great start.
He very clearly looked like the best player on the ice.
No, you don't have to be so pessimistic.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Just like you are with you not wanting me to talk about one certain thing with you right now.
What is that?
How well you're playing.
No, stop. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Also on the women's side, Canada had a makeup game with Finland. They had it postponed because of like a flu bug thing early on in the tournament. They smashed the Finns in what was that bounce back game after the tough loss to the U.S. 5-0 win there. Total stays under 5.5. Marie-Philippe Poulin did not play again, dealing with that lower body injury. She skated this morning, though. So hopeful as that wraps up the prelims that she'll be available potentially against Germany coming up in the quarters. Also, Team USA's odds against Italy. I was looking at this at Circa.
Okay.
They are... I think I have to bet this on principle alone. You tell me what you think. Team USA is laying 6.5 goals.
Okay. So what are you saying, like, you delay it?
No, God. I'm like, do you just not have to take 6.5 goals in an Olympic hockey game?
I mean, I don't know about the qualifier of in an Olympic hockey game. Like, I just have this ripe history of Olympic hockey in my brain. But, I mean, I would say that we watched the Italians give up a ton of shots on goal yesterday.
This is on the women's side.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. All right. Well, then, I don't know, man. Team USA looked pretty dominant for the women as well. Like, that was a rear-end kicking.
Well, and they've been dominant against everybody. They, in their four wins, are outscoring teams 20-1, I think. Yeah. They've, like, every win has been 5-0 or 5-1.
Okay. But I mean, you're the one, look, you're the hockey brain. You're clearly very fired up about all this.
I don't know anything about Italian women's hockey. I'm just going to put that out there. However,
dozens of them.
On principle alone, a 6.5 goal puck line. I'm intrigued with the dog, especially with some of the results in close games that we've seen so far this Olympics.
I'm going to lay it.
You just want to be at odds just to be that guy.
What time is that game?
I don't know. I have to look it up.
Look, tomorrow, 12:10. We'll be on the air for it. All right. Make your decision. I'm looking at minus 7.
Minus,
at a couple of spots.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it was Circa this morning.
With the total of 7.5.
I was looking at, exactly, the total of 7.5 at Circa this morning. But I'll take 7.
I mean, if you're going to, we'll have to talk about this. This is tomorrow at 12 o'clock. We'll have time to discuss.
Another result in the books. How about them Hornets, ladies and gentlemen, on Money Moves? The two of us, also Kelly Bidlin on a numbers game, we have been tracking the win-o-meter for the Charlotte Hornets. And if you took over 25.5 season wins, you cashed it last night. We're going to talk about that and a lot of NBA action next on Follow the Money.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Back here on Follow the Money, Stormy Bonantoni, JVT in for the guys live from downtown Las Vegas. Keeping tabs on this USA-Latvia game, still tied at one as we just had puck drop a moment ago the second intermission. Shout out Purple Kevin for chiming in on X as well. That second goal that was disallowed, goalie interference. So both Quinn Hughes and JT Miller's goals taken off the board. So what could have been a 2-0, 3-1 game is now just a tie game here in the second intermission. Team USA currently out shooting Latvia 15 to 10. I need to work on my vision. 15 to 10, where things sit currently.
I'm going
to
say this right now. Crew, if she still has trouble with this, I'm taking TV privileges away, and you will flip these screens, and I will take this. Because we cannot do this all day today.
He can't see the bug, and I just need to work on I have contacts in, okay? You think it would be better at this point. Also, and JD in Florida chiming in on next as well. 2 no goals and 2 crossbars so far. That's true. There was one, like, at the very end of the period, I saw out of the corner of my eye from Jack Eichel. Like, he thought he scored. Ultimately, did not. So this will be a fun one to keep tracking throughout the course of the program.
I have -2.5 at -175.
They're rolling through. Well, hopefully we can cash some more tickets like we did yesterday on the Hornets season win total over 25.5, 26th win of the season. I believe, though, where this season win total closed was 27.5.
Yeah, somewhere. I mean, what'd your dad get?
I think 27.5 is his number. But our guy, Kelly Bidlin, has the 30-plus as well.
You know what
I
don't care about?
So the win-o-meter keeps going up, up, up.
You know what I don't care about?
What's that?
Richie B, buddy, because we got ours. Who cares? Let's go.
After all the nice things he says about you.
I mean, I don't hear them. The only
Richie
thing,
B is my father, by the way.
The last time I heard Richie B talk, it was on Thanksgiving, and he tried to give me crap for this win total that just cashed, baby. Let's do it. 26 victories. This Hornets team is unbelievable. The run that they are on, 11 wins in their last 12 games. Yesterday, I mean... a completely fantastic result for us here. You get the win. You fail the cover. You blow the lead to Atlanta. So Atlanta sneaks in the number at the end, which was absolutely brilliant. This is a dangerous team, and you do it after the suspensions. And we talked about yesterday, it was part of the logic. It's like, well, you know, it's kind of a big number for a team that is missing two key pieces of the starting five. But as we talked about yesterday, Stormy, our holy trinity of LaMelo and Con Knipple and Brandon Miller. And Miller has 31 yesterday. Absolutely brilliant performance. This team is freaking awesome. And I will say this, as you can tell why I'm so excited, it doesn't matter. It's just, you know, stupid win total. I have been waiting for this for so long. Go back 3 years where they're actually kind of decent. It's like Miles Bridges and LaMelo Ball. They make a run to the play-in. They get absolutely smoked. Injuries have derailed this team for many seasons. We're here, and I've waited for so long. It's been a long journey.
Yeah. Brandon Miller, you mentioned the 31. He had 31-9. LaMelo, 24-4-6. Con Knipple, 18-6-5. They were doing great. And they did cover the closing 2.5. It was just every other number that you had out there on the Hornets doesn't get home. Tough beat if you laid any other number because they were actually outscored by 11 in the final quarter to blow it.
So I got a text, and this is kind of the theme from yesterday. Mitch Moss texted me, and because he goes, I got a text from Mitch, which was, Pelicans, baby. And I'm like,
what?
And I texted him back. I'm like, I'm sorry, am I missing something? I have no idea what this means. But he was talking about the Pelicans were playing Miami at the time, Southeast Division, which was the theme of yesterday. Yes. And so then it made me go check the scoreboard again. And then I realized, like, holy bleep, this is a three-point game at the end. We got inside of this number. So it was a very wild game. And the fact that they blew it, I mean, I guess we always say it, right? Get the best of the number. And the Hornets sneak in. Like you said, it's a good point. Don't cover any other number but the closing.
Let's talk about that Southeast Division, though, because it is interesting now as you kind of take a look at the standings. The four of the five teams are within 3.5 games of each other for first place. And you look at those Charlotte Hornets, 4-1 right now to win the division. I know that there are some suspensions in play here that's going to impact the team in the short term, but what do you think? Is that a worthwhile play or no? You think the division's done?
I'm kicking myself. So I don't know if you've heard of it, Pod of the Futures. It's a great podcast with myself and Mitchell Moss.
That's weird. Also, like Hardman
produced by Wyatt Tomchek in the back. Thank you very much.
Hardman Handicapper is another podcast you are a frequenter on. Not today, though.
I was not today. I don't know what happened. Zach Cohen just texted me at 4 in the morning. He was like, hey, man, you know, you don't have to worry about today. Luckily, I was up as I am at those hours, and I said, that's all right. So I was not on today. But on Pod of the Futures, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. They were like, about the time that you and I discussed 12-1 to make the playoffs, 4-1 to make the play-in, they were like 120-1 to win the division. And so personally, while I think there actually might be some value in 4-1, because I think they actually are the best team, period, in this Southeast division, I didn't bet the 120-1. And so I'm going to be very, I can't, you know what I mean? I just can't mentally go in at 4-1 and just be like, yep, I'm here, guys. No. Mitch has it, so I'll be rooting for Mitch.
Who do you think ultimately wins the division then?
I think Charlotte.
You do?
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, at 4-1, I think that's worth a play.
That's what I was going to say. Like, it's still, just because you don't have the number that you wanted, it's not like 4-1 is a bad number.
No, of course. You're absolutely right. I'm just saying for my personal mental health, like, what am I? I already hate Mitch because of the whole Florida thing.
Okay.
So now I can't just sit there and celebrate with him. He's got the 120 or whatever it is. And then I come in with four and is like, yeah, that's great, man. I can't hate him any more than I already do.
By the way, Germany pulls ahead of Denmark in the other game that's going on the Olympic ice right now. Tim Stutzel with the goal.
Sorry.
Germany closed a big favor here, lane 1.5. What? That's how you say his name.
You had a weird emphasis on
another team that you're very passionate about, the Los Angeles Clippers. How about it, buddy? Kawhi Leonard with another big game, especially in the fourth quarter. 19 of his 27 points in the final frame.
Game winner.
Fadeaway, too. A little turn, fadeaway. Let's go.
I mean, let's be honest here. This is the best team in Los Angeles. There's really no question about it. And this team goes into the All-Star break playing extremely well, even despite the fact that they ship off Harden, they ship off Zubac. I think they're a playoff team. We've talked about this before. I've got them at 2-1 to make the playoffs. I would say absolutely, plus 130 is worth it. We've talked about this a lot. Your top 10 is pretty much cemented in the Western Conference, so you feel pretty confident that they're going to be in there with the Los Angeles Lakers, by the way. So I think that this is going to be a good opportunity for them. And Kawhi is just playing some incredible basketball. You mentioned the stat line from last night. Since December 20th, Kawhi Leonard averaging 29.7 points, rounded up to 30, 6.8 rebounds, rounded up to 7, 4 assists on 49% shooting from the floor, 40% from 3. This dude's unreal.
Yeah.
And he's doing, who knows? I mean, Garland might come back at some point. This is going to be an incredible thing. So I think this team, you know, you really look at it. We saw Ben Mathurin for the first time in a Clippers uniform as well. And I was texting Kelly and Zach yesterday. I don't hate the trio of Darius Garland, Benedict Mathurin, and Kawhi Leonard kind of going forward here. It's not the worst three guys to be out there together. So I think they're going to be into the playoffs. I think with Harden and Zubac, they were like a pesky threat to like extend a series. I don't know if they can win a series, but I feel confident they're going to be a playoff team.
I think just especially, though, in the short term and wondering what the team is going to be like without those pieces, especially James Harden, for them to still be able to step up and like win a handful of these games and show that they're capable. Not bad when Kawhi's the backbone doing what he's doing and whenever Darius Garland is able to be out there on the court healthy, no question about it. Plus 270, they cash on the money line, 8.5-point dog last night. They get it done. Also, go ahead.
I was just going to say for Kawhi, before you move off the point, also on the second leg of a back-to-back.
Sure.
So he's been playing in these back-to-backs now and is performing extremely well. It's a very positive sign for them.
Also in the post-game, Kevin Durant was on the podium, and Sports Illustrated Michael Shapiro asked him about the All-Star game and if his self-proclaimed old heads squad will play hard in the game. Here's what he had to say.
Got an All-Star question for you. I saw you saw the rosters were revealed and said you're on that old heads team. Do you think the old heads will compete and try to win the whole tournament here?
You should ask the Europeans if the world team if they're going to compete. I mean, because we look at Luka Doncic and Nikola Jokic now. Let's go back and look at what they do at in the All-Star game. Is that competition? So we haven't questioned what they've been doing, but we're going to question the old heads and the Americans. But these two dudes out there, Luka and Jokic, they don't care about the game at all. These dudes be laying on the floor. They shoot from half court. But you got to worry about the old heads playing hard. I can read between the lines, bro. And I just think a lot of times, I'm just saying that I can read between the lines. And it's not just about you. It's just an overall topic that everybody has just been talking about. You just happen to ask me that question.
I thought it was funny.
I mean, I don't think anybody really cares about the All-Star break, players included. So if I told you right now, we've removed the All-Star game. Nothing. We're just going to play. We're going to have All-Star weekend.
It would not impact me or I think anyone in any way.
How much do you know how much I like basketball?
Yes.
I wouldn't lose. I don't watch the All-Star game now. Who cares? But I guess I can understand the concept. My favorite part about the clip is at the beginning where I don't know who it is in the background. They give a very hearty laugh.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. But I mean, he's got a point. Luka, Jokic, they don't give a rip about the game. Why should you?
I actually saw, following this comment, some clips coming out like of the two of them from the All-Star game and like playing monkey in the middle, one-handed essentially with the ball going down the court. Like they had a cut up of some of the highlights of them throwing up the half-court shots and everything. He's like, Kevin Durant is not wrong at all.
No, he's not. Last minute here, maybe we can expand on this. We should note the news of the day is that Jaren Jackson Jr. is done for the rest of the season for the Utah Jazz. They just acquired him. The issue is a growth somewhere on his knee that they felt that needed to be removed, despite the fact that he was not feeling pain. Doctors deemed it necessary to remove it because it would otherwise expand. This comes off the heels of the Jazz controversially benching some guys during a game. So interesting that you get a procedure for something that's not causing you pain.
And yet they still cover yesterday, by the way.
What did we tell you, right? It inspired effort after days of being told, hey, you guys stink. The sanctity of the NBA, it's at your feet. And then sure enough, they come out there and absolutely romp the Kings.
The Jazz are in action today, dog to the Trailblazers. Just three games on the final pre-All-Star break card. We'll preview it all. But first, when we come back, VSiN Zone, Tim Murray going to stop by the program, talk through some college hoops. And he's already got college football on the brain for next year as well. We'll be right back.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
America thanks you, Brock Nelson. Team USA up 2-1 now. It'll be the Olympic hockey match against Latvia. This one counts, JVT. This one's sticking.
That's right. So we need this to happen here. They've had, what, two goals get called off. We've had crossbar twice, I believe, was the measure as well. We're laying 2.5. Got to get this thing done.
Beautiful.
If not for the pride of the country, at least of a young man who is the son of immigrants two generations down the road who came here with a belief and a dream that they could find something better.
What?
It's America, dude. Come on.
Speaking of the pride of our country, how about the pride of our network? Tim Murray joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Welcome in, buddy. Host of VSiN Primetime Weeknight, 7 p.m. Eastern. VSiN Weekend Morning Line. We have to transition somehow. You're rooting Team
Tim
America all day.
Tim understood.
Nobody understands you.
I just wanted to see where he would go with it. And stuck the landing, unlike Chloe Kim on her final run.
Ooh, nice. Olympics reference.
Heartbreaking. Have you been, like, dialed in on the Olympics? Anything in particular you've really enjoyed watching?
I told Will Hill the other night that I actually got to cover the Olympics 8 years ago in Korea. So it's pretty cool to just to keep an eye on all these different events that we have no idea how, to handicap them or just know the rules. But I've been watching a lot of curling. Certainly the hockey has been spectacular. Our women have been whooping up on everybody, which has been awesome to see. And the luge, I don't know if you guys saw this today, but there was the luge relay. It was unbelievable. It was like one of the craziest things ever. So it's nice to wake up and have live sports on the television.
All right, well, let's talk about some live sports, maybe coming up a little bit later. There is a robust and thick, girthy card today in college basketball. I don't have any more adjectives for it. And we're going to go to 807-808, because that Matt Eumanns, he loves those rotation numbers, Tim.
That's the Eumanns.
Yep. South Dakota State, Denver, what do you got? This open pick, total 159. We're at South Dakota State. Jackrabbits are a 1.5-point favorite. Oh, is that? No, it's South Dakota? Oh, I messed it up. Either way, South Dakota State minus 1.5 with a total of 158.5.
I believe this is the real SDSU, right?
Yes.
Whoa, shots fired.
It is the Jackrabbits.
That is funny.
Just for Stormy.
Real quickly, that is funny that you mentioned that. I can't tell you how many times on ESPN or on any of these networks where they throw up SDSU and then it's accidentally the other logo one way or the other. All the time.
Never happened to this network, though.
Well, we've got it right. Look at that. That's beautiful. The Jack Bunnies, as the boys from the three-man weave would call them, South Dakota State at Denver. Now, it is worth noting, I bet you a lot of people are going to say, well, he's just going to go over, isn't he? 19-3-1 Denver games have gone over this year. I don't really play a ton of totals, so I'm going to stick to a side here. And when I could get a home dog, I will do so. So Denver Pioneers have been playing a little bit better as of late. You look at some of their numbers at home. They shoot 42% from three at home. They've had success against South Dakota State at home the last two seasons, and it's a revenge game. So am I in love with this play? No, but we got to have a bet on the board tonight that I'll be sweating out later on VSiN Primetime. But if you look at Bart Torvik over the last month of the season, Denver has been slightly better, 208. South Dakota State, 238. You get a little bit of bump for home court. So catching 1.5 here. I know the market just ticked up a moment ago in favor of the Jackrabbits, but I will go against the market move and take a little Summit League action tonight. Give me Denver as a slight home dog against South Dakota State.
VSiN's Tim Murray joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. One play, albeit not a game today, but one that you do like probably a little bit more in the futures market. You added the Florida Gators to the portfolio. Why?
I did, yeah. And look, this is a team that I feel like I've been saying every night on primetime or the VSiN weekend morning line, hey, this Florida team, man, they're playing really good ball right now. And I hadn't added them to the card until last night, a dominant performance against Georgia. You know, speaking of home dogs, I was glad I stayed off of Georgia last night because that was around 8.5, and Florida went in there and took it to them, won it by 20. Look, the size for Florida is incredible. We saw it, you know, on the forefront last year on their run to the national championship. And look, we've talked about it quite a bit. I recorded the best moments in VSiN history or best betting moments of last year and Mitch's glorious run to that national championship ticket. They were very fortunate. And Walter Clayton not on the roster anymore, and he was spectacular a year ago for Florida. But the more I look at this front line and the way they've been playing as of lately, I felt at 17-1, which was the number at DraftKings last night, you know, around 15-16-1 still out there. I just thought when I look at the best teams in the country, are they in the same ballpark as your Arizonas, as your, you know, Houston's as your Dukes? I think so. And I think getting him at around 16, 17 to one for me was worth a shot. So we'll see, but love the size that they have. I do think, you know, against a team like Arizona, as we saw to start the season in Vegas, I think they're able to match up from a size standpoint against Arizona. And the question is going to be the guard play. They do not shoot the ball particularly well, which is always nerve wracking when it comes to backing a team for a national championship run. But we know that they've got the coaching pedigree to make a deep run. And I think they're playing their best ball as of lately. So I was going to be upset with myself if I didn't have a little bit of exposure to Florida. So I went ahead and grabbed a small piece last night at 17 to one for them to win the title.
Just had to bring up the Mitch ticket, huh? I mean, like that had to be part of the analysis. I mean, it's fine. It's fine. It's not like that's a wound that gets ripped
open. You
had
a small piece. Come on now.
Could have had a bigger piece if he doesn't text me at halftime telling me congratulations and completely ruining everything. That totally is the reason why that happened and not the play on the court. All right, let's talk. Let me ask you this.
Earlier, that kind of thing didn't matter. It's so interesting.
It mattered in that moment. It mattered in that moment. All right, Tim, let me ask you this then. As we look at this big picture, I guess, how far out would you be willing to go? We talked about this with Mike Palm the other day.
Yep.
He only had four teams that can win a national championship. How far down the board, how far out are you willing to go? Is this top heavy or do you think there's actually a few more teams that could actually make runs here?
I think it's a little bit more teams out there than what Mike would mention. So I think the obvious Arizona, Michigan, Duke and Houston, you know, they're in one bucket. I think Illinois, I know offensively or defensively, I beg your pardon, they have some concerns. But when you look at Boswell likely returning here, and the way that Keaton Wagler has stepped up and performed, I certainly think Illinois is capable of winning a title. I think UConn is capable of winning a title. I think Kansas. Now, there's a big caveat there with Darren Peterson and, you know, whether or not he's going to be available for all of these games. But you have to put him in there because of what we saw on Monday night, even without Darren Peterson. You could say, oh, it's the, you know, the fallen star theory, the Patrick Ewing theory, whatever you want to say. Without Peterson on the floor, but to be able to beat Arizona tells you something about the abilities of Kansas. I bet Florida to win the title. I think they're capable of winning it all. Purdue, you know, Purdue is kind of on the fringe for me. I don't know where you guys are on this Purdue team. You know, we saw them two nights ago, got out big in their game against Nebraska, let that lead slip away, and then ultimately they were able to win it in overtime. But I think Purdue with the veteran guards, with the size, I still would have to throw them on their ability to win a title. I also throw in Texas Tech. You know, when you have an elite guard like Christian Anderson, when you have JT Toppin, Grant McCaslin, you know you're going to get solid defense from a team that was really there a year ago, if not faltering against Florida. So I think for me, I would say I'm about 9 or 10 deep on teams that could win it all. You know, I know some people think that St. John's, what we saw from them last Friday night, mm-hmm. the defense that they threw out there against UConn, they shoot better than last year's team. Maybe St. John's at, you know, around 70 to 1 is worth a shot. I wouldn't be opposed to taking a 70 to 1 shot because if they get a good draw and they make it into the Final Four, then you're in a great opportunity to hedge off of that. But for me right now, I think I'm about 9 or 10 deep. I think Iowa State, I'm leaving them off right now. You know, not just because they lost to TCU on Tuesday night. There's just something that seems to be a bit miss right now on Iowa State. But as we're looking at the odds board on the graphic, you know, I look at the left column. I think I would take all of those teams to have a chance to win the title, and I would add Texas Tech and Purdue to the list. So about 10 deep for me right now.
Yeah, Texas Tech was actually a team I was going to ask you about. Obviously, like, dominant yesterday against Colorado, but they're a team I wondered if you thought they had the build. Tim, awesome spot as always. We so appreciate your time. Thanks for this.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
See you, buddy.
And by the way, Tim, in addition to hosting VSiN Primetime and the VSiN Morning Line, also host of the College Football Betting Podcast here at VSiN. And they dropped a new episode yesterday with some early off-season takeaways for college football. He has Brett Powers on, diving into a bunch of those different things. So it's never too early to be looking at some college football stuff as well.
No, it is not. So make sure you check it out. Like, rate, review, and subscribe, along with Pod to the Futures and Money Moves.
And you scared me for a moment, making me think that we might have had another goal. We do not, but we do have a Team USA power play.
Yes.
pending.
So that's a good thing. That's why you get a fist bump. Yeah. You got an extra man on the
ice. Yeah, but I'm over here thinking that maybe something really, really good happened, which could here again our boy JVT sweating out the laying 2.5 goals at pretty hefty juice. You put a pretty penny on it too, so I am rooting for you. We'll see how that plays out.
One would
ultimately
argue the prettiest of pennies.
The prettiest of pennies. We talked about a couple of results there, yes, with Tim in passing. When we come back, we will hit on a handful of those college basketball results from yesterday, the NBA, Olympics as well. Win some, lose some. After this, Follow the Money live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Some Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Pauly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
No Pauly Howard today, but that doesn't mean we're not still doing Win Some, Lose Some. Stormy Bonnet, Tony, Jonathan Von Tobel with you.
Try the accent. Come on.
Although it's not, I'm going to pass. Although it's not on the graphic here, safe to say a Win Some. What just happened on the ice out there in Milan? Team USA, while we were in the commercial break, scored two more goals, one on the power play from Tage Thompson, beautiful goal, and then Brock Nelson with his second of the day a moment ago to go up 4-1.
We head to the third period cover, and let's get this done, boys. Come on now. Never have I ever believed in America more than this very moment.
You're so patriotic, I didn't know. We are headed into the second intermission as we speak. But looking to last night, another winsome, coincidentally, with your boys. How about those Los Angeles Clippers? Cash plus 270 on the money line at the Rockets. They win 105-102. Kawhi with the 19-point fourth quarter. Game winner. They avoid going 0-2 in the Houston back-to-back.
Yep, and we talked about this yesterday. The angle of the team that covered maybe being a play against. Market moved against them yesterday. Ultimately did not matter. Clippers come out with two covers and a victory in the baseball set in Houston. Rockets fall flat on their face. And in two games, Houston's offense has been abysmal again, and this has been their problem. So I think this is going to be an issue that tracks them throughout the entire postseason.
Bucks, after falling by nearly 20 in Orlando on Monday, bounce back with a 4-1 money line win over the Magic. 116-108. Big dog again tonight, by the way, at OKC. Pacers, 2-1 dogs. They beat the Nets. We thought maybe this got bet out a little bit too high on Brooklyn, and the Pacers end up winning outright despite the letdown spot.
So two things here. First off, with the Bucks, this is also part of the big Southeast Division night. Bucks get a win over the Magic. Magic, of course, in first place in the Southeast Division. So if you've got a Charlotte ticket, big night for you to get a win and get the first place team to take a loss. The other is, just like you talked about, how many times we say, I was kicking myself yesterday watching this, how many times we say, like, man,
we said it multiple times.
It's a terrible situation. Second leg of a back-to-back, three games of four nights, overtime game against the Knicks, all of it. And yet still, we're talking like 6.5? That seems like a lot for the Nets. And sure enough, of course, they lose that game outright. So, of course, I mean, we could have had an even better night, but did not add it. So I am kicking myself a little bit on that one.
The Spurs bet out from 5.5 to 7.5 in Golden State with 126-113. And I'll say, though, it didn't look like the right side most of the game. Warriors were up as many as 16. San Antonio is a 17-2 run in the fourth. They end up winning by 13.
Yeah, that was the other one we talked about it where, you know, got priced out pretty quickly. They should go out there, should be able to beat down the Warriors. I think Kelly Bidlin was on it pretty early as well, and they go and get it done. And the poor Warriors, I mean, they're rolling out some lineups.
Yeah.
How tall are you? 5'11"? Yeah. They could use you. They'll probably give you a call. Problem is you got to wear shorts.
I can't do it.
That's a little bit of an issue for you. No basketball pants.
As long as I have, what is it, the CeraVe?
Yeah, that's a good point.
KD's been making it work.
That was an incredible. Was that a, for those who didn't see, we should have used, can we play ads, Justin? I don't know if we can play ads. The Kevin Durant lotion commercial.
Unbelievable.
Do you think that's his real legs? Or was that AI generated at all?
Absolutely AI.
Or just or at least edited to a point. The whole premise of the commercial is the camera pans up his legs the whole time.
That seem like they are freakishly long. Yes. They look like Slim Jims. The total also, by the way, in that game, 216.5 to 221.5 easily goes over. Thunder from 6.5 to 8.5 at the Suns. They win 136-109. The Knicks from 1 to 2.5 point favorites at the 76ers. Looking to bounce back after that loss to Indiana. Took it out on Philly. Torched them by 49, 138-89 final. Knicks' largest road win in franchise history. And those are the games you have to win, right, without Joel Embiid.
Of course. I mean, you pretty much have to, and not the case for them either here. So 76ers are a team with some intrigue. It really depends on if Embiid's going to be very healthy, but I don't think they'll meet the form that I think they need to actually get that done.
Kings Jazz 234.5 down to 229.5 falls about 20 points under. You love to see it. Virginia Tech from 9.5 to 8.5. They were getting played plus 360 on the money line. That gets home. And this is another one. We talked about the situational spot at Clemson, potentially overlooking the Hokies a bit, knowing you got number 4 ranked Duke on the other side. They got. Florida, meanwhile, did not. From 7 to 9.5 at Georgia, they win by 20. Bulldogs without their top scorer, Jeremiah Wilkinson's shoulder injury, and it showed. Gators were dominant from start to finish.
Yes, they were, and I agree with Tim. I mean, this is something we talked about a few weeks ago on our show, but I am with him on the Florida bandwagon, added them a while back, but a similar price. I'm at 18-1 with the Florida Gators, but I'm willing to back the creep Todd Golden, get this thing done for the Florida Gators. So we'll see. Think they can totally make a run. That front court's awesome. And I think they're really going to be able to carry him a long way.
I love that you always make sure you include people's titles when you talk about them.
Todd the Creep Golden.
Texas Tech from 14 to 15.5. You could have laid whatever you wanted in this game against Colorado. 78-44, 34-point win here. Buffs' only lead was the first 2 points of the game. It was all Texas Tech after that. They were up 39-22 at halftime, maintained at least a 20-point lead all day. JT Toppin was awesome as usual. 16 points, 18 boards for him. Also, I think this counts as a win some as well. Team Canada, minus 485 out to minus 575.
Positively impact you.
Wasn't a win some for your girl, but they come through. 5-0 shutout win there. Let's go to the lose some. The Nets, we just talked about it. Bet out from 3 to 6.5 against the Pacers. They lose outright 115-110. Magic from 10 to 11.5. They lose outright to the Bucks. Milwaukee, by the way, now too. Winners in 4 of their last 5.
Good job.
Get another one today? No?
No.
All right. Worth a try. We'll preview the 3 games that are coming up today in just a little bit. The Nuggets from 13.5 out to 15.5 against the Memphis Grizzlies. They win 122-116, so only 5 win but no cover. Rockets 8 to 8.5 against your Clips. Thunder Suns 217 down to 211.5. This one soared over 245 combined points on the board. Hornets Hawks 231.5 bet up to 235.5 stays way under with a 110-107 final. Let's get to the college hoops here because UConn. Not a huge move here, but still got the support out from 10.5 to 11.5 at Butler. Yep. They win 80-70, falls right on the 10. Very par for the course, though. It feels like for the Huskies in Big Ten play, you look through the ATS record recently, JVT, just 2-9 against the number their last 11.
I mean, they're very, very big favorites. I can get it out of my mouth. They're very big favorites a lot of the times. They're a very highly power-rated team, so I think a lot of the times you're going to see those inflated numbers, and that's going to burn you when you're talking about asking a team to win by margin almost every single time out, and I think that's why you get there. I mean, look, it's more representative, obviously, of the market's perception of UConn than it is as UConn as a team. I think it's still a team that's capable of winning the whole thing, but obviously the market a little too high. For the UConn Huskies right now.
You and I, big fans of the Mountain West, just one game last night.
What a result.
Grand Canyon bet out from 1 to 2.5 against New Mexico. They lose 70-64. Lopes were down as many as 20 at one point. They end up bringing it all the way back, though.
Yeah.
Take a lead late, couldn't hang on, went cold in the final minute, missed 4 3-point attempts in the final 58 seconds. Can't get it done.
This is why you go back the 2 previous losses for Grand Canyon. You talk about kicking yourself, being upset with yourself. You lose on the road against UNLV when you bring your student section out to the Thomas and Mack Center
to
a lesser 500 team in conference play, 80-78. And then the loss before that, also to the in-state team, Nevada. You lose in overtime, a game in which you blew a late regulation lead. If this was your lone loss since the middle of January, you're feeling okay. But the fact that you've dropped 2 games prior to this that you should not have, and then you go and you get your brakes beat off here by New Mexico, very surprising from a Grand Canyon team that's pretty well coached. Very sad.
Is bringing your own student section to a game, like having paid for it, is that a win some in general if you win the game, or is it a lose some? Is like that's just weird.
I mean, it's a lose lose.
I agree.
You look weird bringing them, and then if you lose the game like they did,
then
it's just
embarrassing.
Yes, come on now.
Let's go to the bad beats. The only,
especially when the other student section got like 2 kids in it.
That's fair. Oh, that's just mean. The only true bad beat yesterday, at least that I came across, and tweet at us if we're wrong. I wasn't going to, what? Take
what? We'll take it. Hawks, they got in the number.
That actually wasn't the one that I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
It was in college basketball that I was going to say. But here, take it. Yes, 100%.
What do you mean? The Hawks, they covered. They were plus 5.5 down to 2.5. They didn't cover the closing line, but they got inside after a late push that got them there.
Crazy. Buzz City ends up winning and covering, like we say, that final number, but nothing else, which is crazy. College basketball, though, the one I was thinking in my head.
I was going in order of the list, though.
Cal plus 240. and plus 3.5. They were covering all game, could have won on the money line at multiple points, end up going to double overtime and lose with Syracuse pulling away late. Like, that's just a brutal. They were within the number the entire game and then lose outright, don't cover, none of it at the end. Also, Ohio State, this game was on, didn't finish when we were on the air yesterday, but Ohio State bet out from 4.5 to 7.5 against USC. Tough if you bought in late on that one as well. Ohio State covers any number, but where it closed once again, 89-82 final. And remember, everybody, with the college hoops grind, that's where real bettors can find their edge. Dozens of games a night, constant line movement, opportunity for those who know where to look. You're not going to beat billion-dollar sportsbooks or full-time sharps on your own, but with Sharp Plays, you don't need to, powered by advanced AI and connected insider sources. Sharp Plays highlights sharp action, key numbers, market shifts, all before the public catches up. Free daily reports, real-time alerts, public logs, transparent results, all since 2011. SharpPlays.com, trusted by the pros, monitored by the books. Own the boards this college hoop season at SharpPlays.com. I feel like Florida has been a very popular bet that I've heard lately.
I mean, they're playing extremely well. I think that's probably why. I mean, we're, I don't know if you know this, but none of us are really original thinkers. And so, you know, when you see a team that is playing as well as Florida has been, you look at the start of the conference play, they come in, they lose to Missouri, you're thinking, all right, this is going to struggle for the Gators. But after that, they rip off 9 out of 10, lone loss being to a pretty solid Auburn team. I think it makes some sense. Big test coming up on Saturday against Kentucky.
No doubt about it. That said, we got to step aside here when we come back. Kicking off the new hour on Follow the Money. Don't go anywhere.